on radio, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers. This is InvestTalk, above average investing for the average investor. InvestTalk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, here's KPP Financial President, Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to this Wednesday, March 11th edition of InvestTalk. I appreciate you being here. So you look around and you see more hybrid or all-electric cars. You hear American drivers are going to use less gasoline and are using less gasoline just a couple years ago. Oil prices are half of what they were just a few months ago. Now, this certainly can't be the time to invest in oil companies, right? Can't be. As in most things, our view of the world is limited. We tend to project our reality here in the United States onto the rest of the world. But think about this. Just because we're reducing our fuel consumption doesn't mean the world is doing the same thing. They're not. According to some numbers gathered by Tyler Crowe of The Motley Fool, the world is in for some massive growth and more consumption. Global population is estimated to grow from 7 billion to 9 billion in the next 30 years. There's 2 billion more people. Gross domestic product, GDP, is expected to double by 2040. This means that transport of goods will increase immensely. The world's middle class, those purchasing power between 15,000 and 36,000 annually, is forecast to grow from 1.8 billion people to 4.8 billion people by 2030. So even though oil consumption in the developed world will decrease, the developed world will decrease, we will probably decrease our oil consumption. There are so many other factors, just general growth of population factors and growth of wealth. That means we're going to have to produce more and more and more oil. 10 million barrels per day increase by 2030. Increase by 10 million barrels a day just to meet the demand. So there's definitely a future for oil. It is not going to stay this low. It may stay this low for a long time. I don't expect it to go up fast. I don't, because we have a glut right now. But the future is pretty bright for oil. So all I can say is you can join us for our wealth webinar next week. We're going to have it next week on the 19th at 6 p.m. We're going to talk about oil. Now, we've expanded that webinar to include an extra time for questions and answers, by the way, an extra half an hour. So it's going to be interactive discussion, question and answers. You can, we'll have people ask us questions. We'll look it up, what individual stocks, if you're interested in them. We'll show you what we look at and how we're getting the numbers, and you can see it on your screen. I think it'd be pretty interesting for you. I hope so. So it's from 6 to 7:30. 6 to 7:30, and that's going to be this coming Thursday? Is that what it was? Yeah, 19th. March 19th, 6 p.m. InvestTalk is all about answering your questions, but we want to hear your opinions too. We're live 4 to 5 Pacific time. Our number is 888-99-CHART. I hope you'll use it. You didn't give me a call right now. So let's take this question from our 24-hour listener line.
Yes, my question is, can you take money without penalty out of a 401k to help you with the purchase of a home, or is that money only relegated to the group of IRA? Can you help answer that question? Greatly appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay, so 401k versus an IRA. Can you take money out of a 401k to buy a home? Because you can do it in an IRA. You got to be very careful how you do it. You need guidance from an expert, an accountant. 401k, to be honest, I do not know. I would think the same rules would apply to a 401k withdrawal to buy a home as an IRA, but I don't know that for a fact. I've never looked into it because I've always suggested people that the 401k and IRA should be used for retirement, not necessarily buy a home. But I would look into it, but I don't have the answer to that. Sorry about that. Wish I had all the answers, but I don't. Okay, 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. If interest rates rise, Will the sky fall? With interest rates predicted to rise in 2015 because the Fed said they were going to raise them, what should you do with your mutual fund, bond holdings? What should you do with them now? Should you do anything? And that's going to be one of our talking points today. Also, I want to talk about the strength of the dollar and talk about what earnings looked at like this last quarter and what they look like for the first couple of quarters coming up. The dollar has a direct impact on that. Okay, also, do you know that they're changing the money market fund rules? Do you know what those changes are going to mean, and will they affect you? And I tell you that they could affect you, so you want to be paying attention to them. So we're going to talk about that. And also, I want to talk about the NASDAQ. It reached 5,000, just a few days ago. I mean, it's fallen off like the rest of the market. It was about a week or so ago, reached 5,000. And that was what it was in 2000, 15 years ago. And yesterday, I didn't get to, and I really would like to get to, is the bull market old? And besides Apple Watch, what else is going on with Apple? If we can get to all those things, that's a lot. It's going to be difficult, especially with your calls. But, of course, your calls come first. So I'm always want to welcome the calls first. So let's talk about ExxonMobil. George in San Jose wants to discuss it. How you doing, George?
Hi, good afternoon, Steve. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
Steve, I want to make sense out of it. When would be a good time to get to ExxonMobil? With considering that we don't know when the oil price is gonna bottom. For them to be an environment of $50 oil, they do have to pay the dividends. They have to spend. So with the spending and dividend paying, can we put a price for ExxonMobil at this time and say, okay, this price is a good entry price?
It's difficult because they just recently, in the last two or three days, broke below their lows they made in September and in November and here in February. They broke below those lows. So then you got to go back even further a couple of years ago. And it looks like ExxonMobil, everybody, XLM, I'm sure everybody knows who they are. And, of course, falling oil prices is the problem. And why the oil prices are falling is because the dollar is getting stronger. So, but I don't think, George, their dividend is not in jeopardy. They're not. They've never decreased their dividend. They've only increased it. So their dividend is not in jeopardy. That's not really going to be a problem. The question is how cheap will it get? Well, I think it's getting awful inexpensive. And this is the area you kind of want to think about buying it. Now, will it go lower? Of course it could. And it's going to be based on what the oil does. But this is a lot of strong support in this $80 to $85 area. It would be surprising if it breaks below it. But just so you know, back in 2011, during the 20% pullback in the market back then, ExxonMobil got down to 56. Okay, and the low of the next year, 2012, it looks like it was that 2000. No, that was 2011. That was 2010, 56. 2011 low was like 70. It would be hard for me to believe that it would go there, but I wouldn't be surprised. George, there's no reason to get excited about buying it. If you want to buy it, just wait. Take your time. Let's see what the dollar. Because what you want to do, George, is watch the dollar. When the dollar stops rising, then oil prices should stabilize. Because the oil is priced in U.S. dollars around the world, not euros, not won, nothing but or yen. It's dollars. So the strength of the dollar is pushing oil prices down.
And some people that see were saying dollar could go as high as 125.
It could. I mean, that dollar is just. But I don't think so. It has really skyrocketed. And I think it, you know, it's like a blow-off top to me. I mean, the last three or four days, it's just shot straight up. And I can't see it maintaining that level. It can't. It's not going to. I just don't know when it will stop. But, George, wait for it to stop before you think about buying ExxonMobil.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it, Steve.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. What's going on in the market? The market today was down 26 for the Dow, down 10 for the NASDAQ, down 4 for the S&P. And that was on top of being down yesterday. There was a lot of struggle between the bears and the bulls today. It was traded in a pretty narrow range. Much of the day, it was up, but it never got up very much. There's never any conviction, and be honest, there's neither conviction on the upside or the downside. So investors and traders are not sure where it should go. But it is kind of showing us that the market is rolling over for the last week, 2 weeks. It looks like it's rolling over, but it's only down several points. You do know that it is down below the end of the year. So for the year, it's down. Down about a point, point and a half, 1.5%, something like that, for the year so far. Here we are March 11th, and the market's down. January, February, usually the first few months of the year, market is up. Not this time, not so far anyways. And most of that's happened in the last week. Kind of interesting. We schedule 2 or 3 days each month to meet face-to-face with a small number of our listeners for individual retirement reviews. I do this personally at our offices. For those who live out of the range, we can do it by Skype or on the telephone. And I'll be in San Ramon March 17th, followed by San Jose March 18th. So to reserve your time, just go to investtalk.com, click on the schedule a meeting button there, and my staff will get back to you and set up a time to meet with me. 888-99-SHART. Give me a call. Let's talk to Frank in Belmont. How you doing, Frank?
Hey, good. Hey, I love your show. Thanks for all the insights. Always picking up on anything you have complimenting any of the companies that we bring up.
Thanks.
Mine is in regards to Sprint. I picked that up around the low $4 range. It's got a lot of stuff, moving components on that company. And, my feeling on that company is, I don't know about long-term, short-term. It's more like a swing trade for me, I think. But I'd love to have it for long-term. But that owner or CEO, Moss's son, my feeling on him is that guy, his history shows that he doesn't sit around and he's not a second, third place player. He goes for first place. And I want to see what your feel is on that. They got a boatload of debt, and that worries me. But I'm kind of concerned that maybe they're going to come up with some big player like a Yahoo purchase or a Dish merger or something like that.
Okay.
I want to see your thoughts.
Sprint, everybody, simple S, they're losing money like crazy. They're going to lose 19 cents this year. They're going to lose 65 cents a share this year and then 29 cents next year. So they've been losing money for years, and they're continuing to lose money. That makes me very nervous. Also, the sales have been flat to shrinking 1% to 2%. I think if it was a swing trade, and he bought it at 4 and here it is at 505, frankly, I think I'd take that profit. I think I'd leave and take the profit myself. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it, Frank. Thank you. I'm Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley. 888-99-CHART is how you reach me right now with your money questions on InvestTalk. I'm ready for your call. Let's talk.
We thank you for subscribing to our podcast. First-time investors need an online trading site that makes trading easy and gives them the help and support they need. The best investing sites for beginners. That's our talking point. Next time, be sure to join us on InvestTalk.
888-99-CHART. Let's talk to Glenn and San Bruno. How you doing, Glenn?
Good. JDSU, had it for a long time. It's about neutral as far as gain loss. What is your thoughts?
JDS Uniphase Corporation, headquarters out of Milipitas, California, manufactures test measurement instruments for telecom, cable service providers, and network equipment. And they compete with Cisco. They're the smaller sister of Cisco, pretty small, pretty much smaller. They are a $3.1 billion company. It is a very good company. They have made money and continue to grow their money. They're going to continue to grow their money. They were kind of flat for the last 3 or 4 years, you know, as far as money, earnings per share. But next year, 2016, they're supposed to dramatically increase their earnings per share by 30%. So that's a good thing. Slowly growing. There's nothing dramatic about the company. You're not going to be able to say, oh, man, this is going to grow 15, 20%. That's not going to happen, I don't think. It's a steady grower. That's about what you can say. And it's a little bit, they're going to make 55 cents this year and then 73 cents next year. Based on 73 cents, if they make that, the stock is $13, so that's a 20 PE or so, the less than 2019. And I don't think that's, I think that's kind of expensive. I don't think it's cheap because the growth is so small. Their sales growth is only growing 1, 2, 3%. Earnings this year is down 4%. Next year it's going to go up 35%. But the sales growth is not there to support a 35% growth in earnings. So something, something's not right here. And mutual funds are selling it. I think you're looking at about what the price should be, right around 14 bucks. So I don't think you should expect anything great, Glenn, from JDS Interface. It's a good company. Just don't expect anything, you know. They'd have to buy. To get growth, they'd have to buy a competitor or do something. There's something more dramatic, and I just don't see
it. Do they have the cash to buy?
Well, they have debt. They're not in big debt, not severe debt. I don't think they have the strength to really buy anything that would make a difference. That's what I think. Glenn, thank you for the call. JDSU, everybody, JDSU. Now, the question we have, everybody has been talking about various things in the media, okay, the financial media. Talking about Apple and the Apple Watch, that was big idea. We're talking about Greece and the EU with its quantitative easing program, China and its economy. There's been all kinds of things in the news, but you know what's missing in the news is earnings. Not talking about earnings at all. I don't hear hardly anything about earnings. And I'm not talking this past quarter earnings. I'm talking about the coming up earnings for the first quarter and the second quarter this year. Did you know that they think they will shrink the first two quarters of this year? Earnings is going to shrink. Do you think that is well known in the marketplace that earnings for corporations is going to go down the first two quarters this year? That is despite more jobs, growing the GDP. Despite that, this has happened before in our history where corporate earnings have gone down, whereas the GDP and the economy has strengthened. Now, a lot of this is because of the dollar getting stronger. Therefore, it's affecting a lot. It's at a 12-year high against the euro. So it's affecting a lot of big companies that are doing business outside the United States. And you've got to remember, the S&P 500, 40-plus percent of their earnings are outside the U.S. Well, that means all that money outside the U.S., it's going to be losing money when you repatriate that to dollars on your books. Don't mean you're going to bring it back. You're probably going to leave it there. But it's going to show up on your books as because the dollar's gotten so strong. So for those companies who are, you know, using different instruments to, you know, stop the slide of earnings by buying foreign currencies or trading foreign currencies, but that's not common. And one thing that worries me also is the earnings for the first two quarters of the companies, the first two quarters of this year of all the companies in the stock market, is down, but they're saying by the fourth quarter of this year, earnings are going to increase by 20%. Do you think that is true? 20% on the fourth quarter of this year? Because, you know, maybe that seems optimistic to me. I mean, have we had 20% growth before? Yeah, in the final quarter of 2013, we had it. 20% year-over-year growth in the fourth quarter. That's the estimate. Can we achieve? And is the stock market factoring that in? And remember, we're going to increase, the Fed has said they're going to increase interest rates, maybe June or by September, somewhere in that range. That's what they said. Are they actually going to do it? Depends on the jobs, I guess, and strength of the economy. Coming up next half hour, you read about billionaires that seem to have the Midas touch. Could that be you? We'll share a couple of the traits that make the rich richer. That's in the next half hour on Invest Talk Personal. If you have a question, you know how to reach me, 888-99-CHART.
If you'd like to see more about KPP Financial Select Portfolios, like our Balanced Income Portfolio, just click on the Investments tab on investtalk.com.
Sarah, San Rafael. How are you doing, Sarah?
Very good. How are you, Steve?
I'm good. Thanks for the call.
Good. I do have a question. I will be 60 years old next month, and I have $150,000 in my IRA, 401k.
Okay.
What do you think is the best thing to do? What type of investment?
Is it a 401k or is it a 401k or an IRA?
401k.
Okay, so you have it at work.
Yes.
And when do you want to retire?
5 years from now.
Okay. So you're 60 years
old. I want to cash it out.
You do want to cash it out? Is that what you said?
Yes.
And what are you going to do with the money?
That's my question to you.
Ah. Well, don't take it because, you know, if every dime you take out of that, now it's going to be added to your adjusted gross income, and you're going to have to pay income tax on that money. You know that, right?
Well, I've been told if I transfer it to the bank, to my account in the bank, I think there is no taxable.
That's wrong. Whoever told you that is they don't know what they're talking about. That's wrong.
Okay.
Any money you take out of your 401k or your IRA, any money you take out of it before retirement age, you will not only pay income tax, you'll have to pay penalty. But now that you're 60, there is, you know,
right.
You can take money out, but now you won't have, maybe not have a penalty. Now, I'm not an expert. You're going to have to talk to an accountant. But you will have to pay income tax on that money. So don't think it's...
Okay, is it worth it?
I'm sorry,
is
say that
again. Is it worth it to invest the money?
Well, what you do is you can...
Is it worth it to pay the income tax?
You can avoid the income tax by keeping it in the 401k or roll it into an IRA when you're able to roll it into an IRA. Then you won't have to pay income tax on it. But the money you take out to spend or the money you put in your savings account or checking account that's not an IRA account, that is a distribution to you. You're going to have to pay income tax on that. So please check with your accountant before you do anything like that to make sure you understand what your tax liabilities will be. Okay?
Okay.
Yeah, be very
great. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Sarah. Be very careful with taking the money out of the IRAs or the 401k. Thank you for the call, Sarah. I appreciate it. Okay, there's going to be new rules coming out on your money market funds. You know the money that you keep in your, wherever you keep the money market funds. Doesn't matter, in your brokerage account, at the bank, if it's a money market fund, there's new rules coming out. And one of the rules is, that will not affect you as an individual, is that they're no longer going to keep the dollar per share. Remember, a money market fund is a mutual fund. They buy things. They buy instruments in there that pay dividends, yields, something. And they keep it a dollar per share, and then you earn the yield, like a savings account. But it's not. It's a money market fund. They're not going to keep the dollar per share for institutional investors, for corporate and municipal debt investors, those kinds. Their money market fund is going to float, just like any other mutual fund. Individuals that have money market funds, you, me, and everybody else, they will keep the dollar per share. They're keeping it. However, they're going to differentiate between different money market funds, and you won't necessarily be able to get your money out instantly if you have a money market fund that is not quote-unquote prime money market fund. What's a prime money market fund? So they're differentiating between different money market funds. A prime money market fund is one that invests in government funds, U.S. government, federal agency debt, municipal, treasuries, that kind of thing. So you have to make sure you have prime. Now, Fidelity is changing its money market funds to prime to make sure that they maintain that dollar per share. To make sure that people can access this money instantly. Why are they changing this? Remember the financial crisis we had? A lot of people were taking money out of the money market funds in a panic. And these money market funds are in short-term investments. So to maintain that dollar, a lot of times they can't. They did because they took it out of their pockets to make sure. So the rules that they're changing to affect you and me is that during a, I don't know, they don't call it a panic. That's not what they call it. They call it, any time of a huge run on these things, whatever that definition is, they can postpone sending you money out of your money market fund if it's not a prime money market fund. So there is going to be some impact on you. Now, they still remember, just try to remember, it doesn't affect your dollar per share. It will be a dollar per share, but not for institutions, not for corporations or municipal, anything that has municipal debt and corporate debt will float, except for the prime money market funds. They won't. They'll stay with a dollar per share. And if you're not in a prime money market fund at your brokerage firm, your money you can still get to it, but at times of panic, they can take their time to get to your money. Just those are the rules that are proposed to be changed. Not yet. It's not infected yet, but they're proposing it. Let's take another question from our podcast listener. You can call anytime you want. It's called the anytime number, 888-99-CHART.
Hi, my name is Jeff, and I'm calling from Boca Raton, Florida. I'm a podcast listener, and my question is about Crown Castle International, CCI. I've been holding this for a while. My question is, should I unload it or should I just hold on to it? Bye.
Boca Raton, Florida, very beautiful place. It's very nice, Boca Raton. It's called Crown Castle International, CCI. It's a REIT, Real Estate Investment Trust, that owns wireless towers in the U.S., Australia, Puerto Rico, for wireless service providers. So they have these towers, and they lease them. They rent them out to carriers who use the towers to send their signals. This company has been growing pretty steadily and pretty fast. It's been growing 20 to 25% quarter over quarter in sales. Earnings are going to go up 33% this year and then another 22% next year. Been very, very steady. Ever since 2010, earnings have been increasing pretty steadily. Except for 2013, they had a problem for some reason back then. They earned 26 cents when the year before they earned 64 cents. The year after, $1.04. Next year, they're going to earn $1.68. So you can see how it's been a very steady rise. Now, because of that growth in sales and because of how strong it is, it pays a 3.9% dividend now. Because of that, the stock has been going up very nicely. A year ago, it was around 72. Today, it was 84. The highest it's got is about 89, 88, 89. In the last few weeks, it's gone down from 88, 89 to 84. The P.E. ratio, well, if you're looking at this year, 84, you're looking at $1.04 in 2013 earnings, so it's an 80 P.E., right? But it's going to make $1.68 next year. So what will that drive the P.E. down to, right? I mean, that's how you look at it. You look at the future growth of these things, and what is the future growth? What will be the future P.E.? So if they're going to earn $1.68 a share, you take 84. Let's call it set at $84, $85 because it's really close. And you divide that by $1.68 and you get a future PE of 50. Is that expensive? Yes, it's still expensive. So it's a great company, growing very fast, but it's expensive. No matter how you look at it, it's expensive. At some point, it's going to be a reasonable price. Maybe a 20, 25 PE because it's growing 20, 25% in sales and earnings. So maybe 20, 25 PE would be more reasonable. And then you're looking at like a $40 stock and it's at 84. That's based on next year's earnings. Next year. too expensive for me. I couldn't buy it. If I owned it, it just broke the 50-day moving average yesterday and then recovered from that. If it breaks the 50-day moving average and trades below that, which is right around $84.50, $85, if it breaks down to $84, and I think I leave. Because it might go all the way down in the 70s, and I don't know if you want to be there, the mid-70s. Okay, it's time for Vestal Personal, day-to-day money choices that have a lasting impact on your wealth. Today I wanted to revisit a couple of the 10 traits that make you rich. Okay, what are some of these traits? These are courtesy of Jeffrey Strand, who writes for TheStreet.com, by the way. And some of these traits are kind of unexpected. One that is not is patience. Being patient. This is the kind of patience that is often difference between creating savings and being in debt. Having the patience to wait until you find a good deal. Wait till you have the cash to pay cash instead of borrowing against your credit card. Wait for your investments to pay off. Saving rather than borrowing. Being patient. This is one of the hardest things for a lot of people. Next is satisfaction. And when I say satisfaction, we're talking about being satisfied in your life situation. Not always looking across the street and say, oh, they have a new car. I want a new car. Not watching TV. Have you ever noticed the commercials that everybody's happy on TV? You go drink this beer. You'll be happy. We have fun when you drink beer. That's all it. And if you're not happy drinking beer, you're sitting on the couch and having, you know, six-pack of beer, you're not happy. So people need to learn to be satisfied where they are. It's okay. You're not going to be happy every minute of every day. It's not happening. That's not human nature. You want to be healthy. You want to have a healthy lifestyle. You want to be satisfied in what you're doing. Instead of always looking around, I want more, I want more, I want more. That is just not how real life is. Okay. And finally, one more, organized. I have relatives who can't pay their bills on time, who constantly have to pay penalties or interest on the bills that they didn't pay because they're not organized. It's not that hard. The more organized you are, the more you're on top of what you have to pay, and you pay it on time and everything. You don't have to pay extra. That's enough of my InvestTalk Personal. I don't want to bore you to death with all these things. Do you have a topic you'd like me to cover? Just let me know. Click on Contact Steve, or you can click on Contact Justin at InvestTalk.com.
Have you tried our free risk analysis tool? It just takes about 5 minutes, and it'll get you in touch with your inner self, or at least how you feel about risk. It's the first step in getting you in sync with your investments. Just look for the blue box with the free risk analysis tool.
My name is Singh, and I'm calling from Hayward, California. My question is, I need your opinion about Facebook. What's the best time to get into the Facebook? And I'm interested to buy some shares for the Facebook. I need your opinion. I will listen to your show next time. Thanks. Bye. Have a good day.
And like every other stock, the best time to get in the stock is when it's inexpensive in comparison to its earnings, when it's cheap compared to its earnings. And that has nothing to do with the price of the stock. It has everything to do with the price of stock in relationship to earnings, but nothing to do with the absolute price of the stock. So, for instance, Facebook is selling for $77.57, down $2.43 so far this week. It was right near its top, right around $61, $62. It's done that three times and fallen off. I'm sorry, 80, 81, 82, not 60. And now here it's fallen off to 77.57. So you know that that's kind of where the range of the top has been the last, since the beginning of the year. Actually, since the end of, that was October, that first time it topped. Then it topped again in late December. And now it just did it four days ago. So now you want to buy it. Well, let's look at the when it topped those little previous times, where did it go before it bounced back up? And the answer is about $73, $74 a share. So I would probably wait to see if it comes down to test that $73-$74 a share again. And if it starts to move up from that or go sideways from that, that might be a better place to buy. In an ideal situation, you would love to buy it where it was trading at last May, which is in the high 50s. But I don't know if it's going to go there. We'd probably have to have a bear market for it to go there. And I don't know if we're going to have a bear market. We might have a big correction, but I don't know if we'll be in a bear market. So I would wait, be patient, see if it goes down to the $73-$74 area. Make sure that it stays there for a while, trading sideways for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, or maybe starts back up and then buy it if you want to be in Facebook. Now, if you're going to ask me, is it expensive? They're going to make $2.57 next year. And they're $77 stock. So that's a 30 PE. So it's not cheap. It's kind of expensive. But when you're growing sales 40, 45% a quarter, maybe it's just justified to have that kind of price. Okay? This is these high growth stocks, Facebook and others, that if they maintain their growth, then they're worth the extra money you're paying for it. But at some point, all high-growth stocks slow down their growth. It's the law of large numbers. Have you ever heard that term? Law of large numbers. The larger the number gets, the harder it is for it to keep going at the same pace. So, and they're going to hit it, just not yet. I'm glad you choose to spend this hour with me, this time, in every day, Monday through Friday, 4 to 5 Pacific time. We're live. I'm Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley, and our money management firm is KPP Financial. We offer specially designed investing programs to our clients, depending on your risk and risk tolerance, like the Dynamic Growth Program. It's pretty high risk. It utilizes stocks, exchange-traded funds, closed-end funds, ADRs, to gain exposure to various different asset classes. So that's a higher risk program. We have lower risk programs. Depends on you. We have programs designed just to throw off income. You can see more about us on InvestTalk.com.
Our InvestTalk podcast distribution is made possible by KPP Financial, Steve Peasley, President. And Steve hopes you'll sign up for our free wealth webinar coming up next week on March 19th, The Upside of Lower Oil Prices. Again, it's coming March 19th at 6 p.m. Pacific Time. The sign-up is free on InvestTalk.com.
88.99 chart. I got an email from Charles from Atlanta. He says, greetings. I am a podcast listener from Atlanta, Georgia. Great show. I was wondering if you could provide your opinion on investing in food service contractors. Food service contractors. Specifically, Aramac, and Sodexo. I can talk about Aramac, A-R-M-K, because I can only do one. He also mentions middle buy. Aramac provides food facilities, uniform services, education, healthcare, industrial, leisure, and corrections clients. So food services, foods, provides food. It could be vending machines. It could be, you know, any kind of machines that produces, you know, slices and dices, ovens, or it could be just food. They came out with an IPO back in 2013 at $20 a share. They've been around forever, though, just not a public company. They've been growing nicely, okay? Earnings grew 6%. They're going to grow 6% this year, then another 13% next year. Sales have grown quarter over quarter, except for the most recent quarter. It was down 2%, but the quarter before that was up 12%, then 4%, 3%, 6%, slowly growing. This stock is a $32.53 stock, up 39 cents this week, even face of a market that's been down. So that's impressive. They pay a 1.1% dividend. Management owns 9% of a $7.7 billion company. That's $770 million or so that they own. So that's a pretty good chunk. And the only black eye or something that I'm nervous about that I would have to check out more closely would be the debt. They have lots of debt. And my question would be, why? Why is there so much debt? They have pretty hefty cash flow. Maybe they can service the debt. They have a really good return on equity at 27%. That's pretty high, and we like that. So, and mutual funds have been buyers. And it was trading for $25, $26 for months in May, June, July, August, September, October last year. And then in October, it started to take off and went up to $32. So if you're asking me if it's a good company, yes, it's a very good company to own. If you ask me to buy it now, I would say no. I would wait for a pullback. It looks like it's going to pull back again. And I would say in the high 20s or low 30s would be a normal pullback. And I'd rather see you buy it there. I do like the sector, though. Food service is not going away. Jobs are increasing. Our GDP is going up. It is very cyclical stock. When a recession hits, this company will get hit hard. But I don't see a recession this year. So when you get a nice pullback, probably be a good time to buy it. Okay? And thanks for the email. Appreciate it. Really is, really do appreciate it. Now, let's talk about the market. The market, the NASDAQ in particular, a week ago hit 5,000. The last time it was 5,000 was in 1999, 2000. Right at the end of 1999, beginning of 2000, it was at 5,000. So, that means it took 15 years. If you were a buyer of the market at the top, wish there were buyers, and you held on to it all this time, that means 15 years and you finally broke even. Now, granted, people bought it before it reached 5,000 back way back then, and they bought it after it fell. So not everybody, and I'm not trying to pretend that everybody, you had to wait 15 years to make money. That's not necessarily so. But it goes to demonstrate something very interesting, and that is when we say buy and hold works, we mean over many, many years. Now you're going to reply, or someone could reply, well, what about the S&P and the Dow? Well, they breached their old highs from 2000 in 2013. 13 years for them, 15 years for the NASDAQ. So it takes years, decade plus sometimes. And the longest time it ever took from the Great Depression, 1929, from that crash, that high in 1929, from the crash to come back, and then we already have to talk about the Dow, to come back to the high of the Dow, it took from 1929 to 1954. Just so you know, that's 35 years. So You don't want to buy the market when it's at peaks. There, you got to be very careful. Before we close for the hour, you've heard us talk about our webinar coming up. It's next week, March 19th at 6 p.m. Pacific Time, The Upside of Lower Oil Prices. You can register now on InvestTalk.com. I'm Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley, and for Justin Klein and everybody at KPP Financial, I thank you for listening today, and let's talk again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.